who were baptized a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago here this morning, welcome in the name of the Lord. It's so delightful to have you with us. I continue to pray for the Reese meetings and for our New Year's program, our Lunar New Year program. The last day of this month, we'll have a program together. I think those then are all the announcements at this time. Book of Jude, and we'll read together some verses. We're going to start at the end and work back this morning. Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter, and it'll be verse 24. Lord, we do pray that you'll just help us. Thank you for this year upon which we have entered by your grace. Some of us, Lord, rather surprised to be here. We thank you so much for the grace that you have extended to us in terms of long life and the ability to serve thee. We praise thee for that. And our prayer is that the year 2020 will be a year of much blessing in each of our hearts and through us by the grace of God to many others. So we pray that you'll help us as we consider your truths this morning. We ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you haven't been at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel as long as I have. And one of the things that distresses me, lots of things that encourage me, one of the things that distresses me is that not everyone who was here many years ago is here. And there are many reasons for that, some of which are very good. Many of them have gone on to heaven, and they are very, very happy. Some of them are not so good. Some of them have not proceeded in the work of God, in the blessings of God, as they could have, as they should have. And so as I look at the beginning of a year, by faith, I look forward to the end of the year. And then I ask myself the question, what is the assembly going to look like at the end of 2020? Will there be some who've gone on to heaven? Maybe. Will there be some who've gone on to greater spiritual maturity? Yes, by the grace of God. Will there be some who have fallen by the wayside? The answer is possibly. Will there be some who've sort of carried on level? And the answer is that's probably what most of us would observe, because we're not very good observers of spiritual growth or decline. But there is a possibility that some might decline. Some might go back in their Christian walk. Not a possibility that they will lose their salvation, but it is a possibility that they might lose their reward. There is a possibility that they might lose much of the blessing of life that they could have and should have enjoyed. So the question is, where will you be, where will I be at the end of 2020? And I'm reminded of a line that I heard in a radio program a while ago, and it goes something like this. One of the great disappointments that a pastor has after he's been preaching in a church for a long time is that many of the congregation haven't changed. That would be a disappointment. It's a disappointment for all of us who are overseers and all of us who love the Lord. We look and we say, now, how has the growth been? And we want there to be growth. We'd be very disappointed if there was not signs of growth. We'd be terribly disappointed if there were signs of decay or falling. So, with that as an introduction, Jude, verse 24, reads this. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Well, that's an exciting couple of verses. There is a God in heaven who is able to do two things, the second of which is to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about that.
What's it going to be when our blessed Lord Jesus Christ rises in that day following resurrection? And he stands, if you like, with all the world before him, with all heaven before him. And he's going to be standing in the presence of his glory. How great will that be? Just let your imagination go. All his enemies have been defeated. All his works have been accomplished. All his victories have been won. Will there be glory in that day? And the answer is yes. Unimaginable, unsurpassable, incomprehensible glory. You get excited about that? I get excited about that. What's going to happen on that day? Well, the verse says he's going to present me faultless in his presence on that day. Can you believe that? Not just me, all of us. He is able to present all of us on that day, in the day of his vast, unimaginable glory, he's able to present us faultless with exceeding joy. So I figure if there's ever been an understatement in Scripture, it's the little phrase with exceeding joy. Are you going to be happy on that occasion? Yes. Is exceeding joy an apt description of that occasion? And the answer is no, it's going to be far greater than that. It's an amazing day. You want to be there? Amen. You want to be one of those on that day standing beside him? Amen. Is it possible? Yes, he's able to keep us from falling. And you sit back and you say, that's marvelous. What's going to be on that day? Well, it's going to be, we're going to be giving to him, the only wise God and our Savior. We'll be giving him glory and majesty and dominion and power. When? Well, forever. And also today, now. There's some verses of Scripture that are just about too wonderful to comprehend, aren't they? And that's what we're looking forward to. That's why we come this morning. We've been called into his blessings. We've been called to partake of all his goodness. And as we can contemplate the greatness and the vastness of that into which our Lord has brought us, we cannot understand it. We cannot comprehend it. We say, thank you, Lord. Open my eyes, please. Let me see it. Let me understand it more. So again, verse 24 says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep us from falling. My question is, how is he going to keep us from falling? So I want you to go back to verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How is he going to keep us from falling? Answer, we are going to keep ourselves in the love of God. Two words translated the same in English, keep. He's going to keep us from falling. We're going to keep ourselves in the love of God. The logic is not exactly the same in the original language. He's able to keep us in the group that we ought to be in. We must guard ourselves from anything that would carry us away from. His responsibility is he can keep us. Our responsibility is to do what we can to make sure that we are kept by him. And verse 20 and 21 basically suggest four things that we would do in order to keep ourselves in the love of God. Number one, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Number three, keep yourselves in the love of God. Number four, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we going to be doing in the year 2020? Well, one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be building up ourselves in our most holy faith. How are you going to do that? Well, among other things, you're going to read your Bible, aren't you? And you're going to read it and read it and read it and read it. Do you realize that the more you read it, the more you understand it? The more you read it, the more it begins to transform you. The more you read it, the stronger you get. And I've told you before about the day that I think I actually gave a ride to the strongest man in the world. Doug Hepburn was his name. He used to live near me. And he and I were in the car together. The man was absolutely huge. But he was, at that time, he was the strongest man in the world. He just won the heavyweight championship of the world. And it was an interesting time. I read at about that time, I read what he used to eat for breakfast, and it was something like a dozen bananas and a dozen eggs. Okay? If you're going to be strong, you got to eat a lot. They asked Harry Ironside on one occasion as he was going to breakfast with a number of preachers. They decided they would ask one another what it was they'd been reading from the Bible that morning. One fellow said, well, I read a chapter of such and such and another and so on. So said to Harry, Harry, what did you read this morning? Well, he said, I read the entire book of Isaiah before breakfast. I don't know what he did before lunch, but how are you going to build yourself up in your most holy faith? Are you going to read the word and 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 read the word? By God's grace, we could read the word more next year than we did last year, couldn't we? What else are we going to do? Well, we're going to be praying in the Holy Ghost. And neither of these things surprise you terribly much, but we are going to keep on praying. That's why we have prayer meeting. That's why we didn't cancel our prayer meetings the last couple of weeks when we didn't have our regular Tuesday night prayer meeting. We decided to have Monday night prayer meetings. Why did we do that? Because praying is very important. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. You might get discouraged. There could be all kinds of problems. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. All right, number three. What's number three? It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And frankly, I find that a very difficult phrase. I can understand building yourself up in your holy faith. You read the Bible. I know what to do. You sit down, you open your Bible, you get put on your glasses, and you start to read. I can do that. Praying, I know how to do that. I can pray alone. I can pray with others. But I bow my head, and I open my heart, or I open my lips, and I pray. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? The practicality is harder to put a handle on. Something like John 15, isn't it? Abide in the vine. Well, that's kind of hard. I don't know precisely how to do that. This is one way I think you could keep yourself in the love of God. Number one, you could decide you're not going to walk outside the love of God. Sin is not keeping yourself in the love of God. And so you could say, Lord, I want to live a holy life this year. That's what we talked about last time I was speaking on a Sunday morning here. holiness. Don't allow sin to get into your life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Don't go out of the love of God. And if you allow sin in your life, it is going out of the love of God. It's turning your back on the love of God and heading in another direction. You might even say, I'll see you later, God, but I've got to go now. Don't do that. Keep yourself in the love of God. But I think there's another side to keeping yourself in the love of God. Where do you find yourself in the love of God? And in many respects, you find yourself in the love of God at the breaking of bread on Sunday morning. And when you're here, what is your focus? It's the love of God. Were you listening this morning? Of course you were. What was our theme? It was marvelous, the love of God. Marvelous, the love of God. And we just sat and we basked this morning, one after another, after another of our brethren told us, in prayer, in music, in ministry, about the love of God. I don't know of any other place, I don't know of any other time when we are so much in the love of God than right here at the breaking of bread. It's a simple time to be together. We often say it's a repetitive time, because we do the same kind of thing this week that we did last week. But we all enjoy eating. Do you ever find that you like eating something that you used to eat? Years ago, I was living in Germany. And I liked Germany. And I liked the food in Germany. But periodically, I got to go to London on business. Every time I went to London on business, I ordered roast beef dinner. Because you see, I used to eat a lot of roast beef dinner in Vancouver, but they don't cook roast beef dinner in Germany the way they cook roast beef dinner in London. So when I went to London, I had roast beef dinner. I'm hesitating because a long time ago, I heard a Margaret Thatcher joke about roast beef dinner, but I'm not going to tell you. We enjoy certain things, and we enjoy them a great deal. Keep coming back. We come back to the breaking of bread because it is here that we see and feel and understand the love of God. There may be an emotional association with it. That's not very important. What is important is that our minds are focused on the love of God. You can't look at that table and think and not think about the love of God. And God says, listen, my plan for you is to keep you through the year 2020, so that you don't wander away. How can I keep you? I will keep you by focusing you continually on the love of God, on the life that was given, on the blood that was shed. You've got to keep yourself in the love of God. That's why we keep coming back every Sunday morning. Is there a priority to the breaking of bread? And the answer is yes. There is a priority to the breaking of bread. If there is a parallel verse to verses 20 and 21 in Jude, it's the verses in, and it's just gone from me, but it'll come back very quickly. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. There were four there. There's four here. There's a parallel between those four. They started out on these four. And we are going to keep these four going, according to Jude, in order that we keep ourselves building ourselves up, in order that the Lord can keep us from stumbling, keep us from falling, keep us from losing the great blessing that he has for us in everyday life in the year 2020. Why is it necessary that we keep ourselves and he keeps us from falling? And the answer is because there's great danger that we could fall. Back to verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You have to earnestly contend because, and he's going to go on, and he's going to talk about three groups of people who didn't carry on. Started out well, didn't end well. But how does it happen? Earnestly contend. What's earnestly contend mean? That means get in there and fight. Get in there and stand up. The athlete has got to say, okay, I'm going to get into the ring, I'm going to get into the action, and I'm going to earnestly contend. How are we going to stand? We're going to earnestly contend. The casual Christian falls over. The diligent, contending Christian stands. David didn't stand by taking the day off. David stood by volunteering to fight Goliath. Three kinds of people. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Actually, it's probably verse 5 that I want. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. How? The Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. How many Israelites left Egypt? How many of those who left Egypt went into the promised land? Yikes. Two went in that we're told of. Hundreds of thousands, millions came out. What happened? Well, there's an enemy out there. It's called the world. And over and over and over, the children of Israel, in the days after leaving Egypt, complained and said, maybe we should go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. And at Kadesh Barnea, for the 10th time, they said, would God, we'd died in Egypt. Don't go back to the world. Why did you come to the Savior? Because you found one thing. The world did not satisfy. If it did not satisfy yesterday, it will not satisfy tomorrow. If the world was your enemy yesterday, the world will be your enemy in the year 2020. Do not go back to the world. That's not your only enemy. Verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What's that all about? Well, you'll remember that there was rebellion in heaven many, many eons ago. And the devil led a rebellion against the Lord. And many of the angels fell with the devil. We call them demons today. They are reserved in chains. They're reserved to punishment in the day to come. What happened to them? They left their first estate. And so there's two enemies out there. Number one is the world. Number two is the devil. And it would be very easy for us to listen to the devil, saying to us, as the devil has said all along and said to himself, I could be I could be like God. I could do. I don't have to follow the Lord's way. I could go independently. The devil said, Eve, if you eat that, it'll make you wise. It'll taste good. You better take that fruit. You could listen to the devil, and he would tempt you. Is the devil a skilled tempter? Yes. Is there a more skilled tempter than the devil? No. Is the devil a clever liar? Yes. Is there anyone more clever at lying than the devil? No, he's the father of lies. He's been lying from the beginning. He's had far more experience lying than anybody else. Don't listen to the devil. Two enemies. One is the world. One is the devil. And then the illustration is given for us in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Is there a temptation that would come from the world? Yes. Is there a temptation that would come from the devil? Yes. Is there a temptation that would come from the flesh? Yes. Are these temptations powerful? Yes. Are they able to cause the godly to stumble? Yeah, they could. How can we keep ourselves from stumbling? Number one, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, filling ourselves with the Word of God. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We keep ourselves in the love of God, and we keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we do that in two ways, looking not only just through the eyes of faith, but looking in the diligent activities of life. How are you going to get through life? The Lord is going to help us through, and we keep looking for that blessing. What is our hope and prayer? Our hope and prayer is this, that at the end of 2020, 1 year from now, we'll be able to look around, and we'll be able to say, we didn't fall, we grew individually. We didn't just stay level, whatever that would be. We decided, by the grace of God, we were going to grow in the year 2020. And by the grace of God, we won't lament at some who fell in 2020. Lord, we pray that you'll just give us a blessed year upon which, by the grace of God, we have entered. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for giving us another year. We don't deserve it. But you've been gracious to us. And you've ushered us into this wonderful presence of the year 2020. And Lord, we believe that there are marvelous things that you could do in us and through us this year. But it's also true, Lord, that we could fall. And we don't want to fall. And so, Lord, may we take this admonition from Jude. We understand the book of Jude, Lord. There was a man named Judas. And he started with Peter, James, and John. They didn't end up with Peter, James, and John. Lord, we pray that we will stand in this year to come. Lord, may we not just stand, may we grow. May we mature. May we at the end of this year be far more like our Savior than we were at the beginning. We sang it, a few of us, on Tuesday night, Lord, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask, to be like him. In Jesus' name we pray.